This is Mythical.
We're so excited to introduce you to Great Jones. Great Jones makes high-quality, thoughtfully designed cookware that's so stunning you won't want to put it away. From Dutch ovens to ceramic dishes to non-stick sheet pans, they've got you covered.
Heck yeah, they do. Their products come in a variety of amazing colors, from classic black and white to pinks, greens, yellows, and blues. And the best part, Nicole, everything's non-toxic.
Josh, I've been in the market for a kettle for months.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about it a weird amount.
Yeah, I've bought like a bunch, returned a bunch, but I just got my hands on the Great Jones Fellow Kettle collab, and I got it in the color broccoli, and I'm so excited to make artisanal teas and coffees. I'm trying to get on my coffee game right now, and I'm so excited to use a gooseneck kettle. We have no idea.
I'm excited to use their yellow hot dish, aka casserole dish. Shout out to Minnesota and Fargo, North Dakota. I'm at that point in my life where I'm like, I'm an adult, I should have nice vessels to serve food out of.
Sure, fair.
Instead of just serving it on like stainless steel restaurant style things. And I like it. It's cute. It's got a good design. Bakes really well. Holds heat. I'm in, baby. And once you try Great Jones, you'll want to share it with friends. They make stunning gifts that are actually useful. Weddings, housewarming parties, birthdays, it's the perfect gift for the foodie in your life.
So upgrade your kitchen and replace those old, rusted hand-me-downs with bold, beautiful, long-lasting pieces from Great Jones. Get started today at greatjones.com and get an extra 15% off your first order with promo code SANDWICH. That's greatjones.com, promo code SANDWICH.
Are you tired of losing your poor meatballs on top of spaghetti all covered in cheeses when somebody sneezes? Try meatloaf. It's basically the same thing.
Or is it?
This is a hot dog as a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiety.
And Nicole, today we're talking about meatballs.
Side note. I did not understand the reference of the first part with the meatballs and the sneezes.
Well, sometimes, Nicole, when your meatball is sitting on top of spaghetti, you lose it when somebody sneezes.
I don't understand the reference.
On top of spaghetti, all covered in cheese. Sing it with me, Nicole. There's that my poor meatball when somebody sneezes. I think I said they're sat instead of I lost. I think they lost. It's a children's song. It's fun. It's for the kids.
Cool.
We had a teacher in fourth grade who, instead of teaching math, would sing songs on his guitar, and then none of us learned math for a whole year. This is real.
That's awesome.
Parents intervened years later. They were like, yo, I get you're a failed musician. That's cool for you, but you gotta teach math.
Yeah.
Some of the songs he sang were racist, too.
I had a really bad math teacher named Mr. Hamburger, and now I'm in the food industry, so.
Well, hey, did something right. Anywho, today we're talking about, is meatloaf just a long meatball? And this came up for a couple reasons, Nicole.
Okay, what are the reasons?
Okay, one reason I saw a tweet that was an Australian person saying that they just learned about meatloaf and thought that it was an American prank trying to convince international people that that's what American food was.
America's just one big prank.
America, yeah, but meatloaf is a delight. So I was mad about that.
Yeah.
And then I had one other experience, and this is going to come full circle. Okay. I went to a restaurant opening with Julia, a place called Lavo. Very fancy, very vibey.
Did they have meatloaf on the menu? I'm going to vomit.
Or wait, hold on. Did they have meatloaf on the menu, Nicole? That's a good question because I think they did, and other people think they did not.
Hmm.
They have a 1-pound meatball. They have a 1-pound meatball, and it is an absolute delight. Julia loves meatballs. I make them
How much is a pound, like in terms of like weightage, so I can like feel it in my
In terms
hair?
Of weightage, a pound is a pound.
Okay, so
Nicole, a pound is the weight.
No, I know, but
Nicole is holding a coconut LaCroix. Water is roughly 16 ounces of water equals 1 pound of weight.
Yeah,
fluid
a pint
ounces.
Is a pound the whole way around.
Yeah,
so this is how much it weighs.
Yeah, now Nicole is holding a tall boy of liquid death,
which is
16 ounces, which is indeed a pound. But a pound of meatball. I mean, that's big.
Yeah, it is.
Significantly bigger than a normal meatball.
Was it completely round or did it have, was like a mountain, a mound? Was it a round mound?
Oh, could you consider it a loaf? But that's what I was getting to. I think that once a meatball gets to a certain size, it is effectively a meatloaf. And 1 pound, to me, I don't know if that's big enough to qualify for a meatloaf. I would say it's an individually portioned meatloaf. But the sexiness gap, there's something in food we call the sexiness gap.
Yeah,
it's like,
for sure.
It's like the Big Mac index on international economics.
Okay,
the sexiness gap between meatloaf and meatballs is massive because Lavo, sexy, sexy restaurant that we went
is
to.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like sexy. Oh my God, they're retractable. This sounds like a Lavo
ad. There's a retractable roof?
Oh yeah, dude. And like the plate, I was just, they come over with a cocktail that is, you know, like they pull up the cloche and smoke evaporates
freaking
out of
cool,
it.
Cool, man.
Oh, so cool. But they can never get away with serving a meatloaf, right? That's not sexy food, but a meatball. Balls
yeah,
are sexy.
It's so interesting how meatballs are sexy, but meatloaf is like the antithesis of sexy.
I know, right?
Loaf is not a sexy word. Ball, so sexy.
But you got to agree that they're same. That it's the same thing, right?
You could take the same mixture.
When someone says, like, let me show you my loaf, you know, that's not sexy. When someone, you know what I mean?
Finish a sentence. No,
I don't know.
I
don't know where it was going.
You're weak.
I want to stop.
Yeah. So I don't know, because when you think about it, you could take the meat mixture, whatever it is, right? And you could form it into a loaf. You could form it into a ball. You could form it into like a flat, I don't know, like a sheet.
A hamburger?
Meat sheet.
Oh, meat sheet? Meat sheet, that's sexy.
Hamburger puck?
We once made a meat sheet and then use that as like a tortilla to wrap around carne
yeah,
asada.
Yeah, that was one of my proudest moments, like watching you cook. Like I was like, this guy's like legit.
Yeah, we made a sheet of raw ground meat and then wrapped carne asada and beans up in it and then baked it. And it looked exactly like a burrito.
I was so proud of you at the moment. I'm like,
I'm
working for someone who's like actually knowing what they're doing. Truly. I don't know how long I was working for you at that point. Like, I think I was there for like 6 months.
Yeah.
I'm like, But then I saw that. I'm like, oh, okay.
That was when you recognized my genius. Thank you.
Yeah, I was like, this guy's cool. But yeah, I don't know, honestly. The difference between a meatloaf and a meatball, there is no difference, right?
Well,
there?
In the American context, because let's talk about this, right? Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about meatballs in the American context, we are probably talking about Italian polpette.
Polpette
or polpettini, which like that, there's a whole
Ablondigas.
History. Albondigas.
Köttbullar
in Swedish.
Köttbullar. What do you call them in Farsi?
Kofta?
No.
Well, kofta is like...
Shefta.
And like kofta is what they call it in a lot of the Middle East, right? Mm-hmm. You have kefteres in Greece. You have sukune in Japan. Like meatballs.
Sukune
is great. Oh, do they like hand chop the chicken for the meatballs? And skewer, dude. Point is, like, meatballs all around the world are a delicious, sexy food. And they date back like thousands of years. And they even look at like the meatballs in pho. Right? There's Vietnamese meatballs.
Love
like
those.
There's so many processed ground meats shoved into balls. But when we're talking about like, you know, a 1 pound meatball at Lavo, that is Italian polpette. And like in Italy, it is a somewhat quote unquote authentic dish, whatever that means to you, started in likely South Italy, right? But like nobody eats them on spaghetti. I remember my Italian roommates when they found
they're
out that
they're separate, right? A lot of the time. Like it's a bowl of gravy.
we watch The Sopranos
I've
in here.
I've never watched an episode of The Sopranos.
Gabagool yourself a gun, Nicole.
What?
They eat the meatballs and pasta aren't eaten together.
Yeah, they're separate.
Yeah, and my Italian roommates were like, why would you eat them together? There is bread in the meatball. There's bread and pasta. Why together? And I was like, I honestly don't have an answer.
There is no answer.
I don't even think
American
opulence.
American gluttony. Yeah.
It's like kind of part of it, right?
Yeah.
It's like, Italian immigrants, they moved to America in the early 20th century or maybe late 19th century. And there was just like a ton of available beef due to like Chicago meatpacking, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, point is like meatballs from the Italian context got really big in America. At that point, at the same time, meatloaf, like the first meatloaf recipes came out in like 1870.
I don't know what it is. It's something about, you're right, just like food that is round and circular is so much more attractive. I don't know what it is.
Is it to you?
It is to me, yeah.
Okay, like when is the last time you ate mate? When's the last time you mated with a meatloaf? When's the last time you ate or made a meatloaf?
My family does not enjoy meatloaf.
Have you never made a meatloaf?
I've made it. Have I made it? No, I didn't make it. Debbie made it. And I saw her.
Why'd Debbie make a meatloaf?
She had people.
Debbie,
over.
What are you doing?
And it was a really delicious meatloaf.
Was it like an ironic, like Americana menu?
No, I don't know. I think she just knew how to make it. So she made it and it was delicious. But I've never, in good faith, put meat in the shape of a log and then baked it. Like,
why do you sound like you're on trial right now?
I don't know. I think I've been watching a lot of the Johnny Depp Amber Heard.
Let's get into that.
No, I don't need to. But it's just, I've just never done it. You know, I've done it for work.
Would you like to? What's stopping you?
I don't know. Something about the free-form meat on a sheet freaks me out.
It doesn't look great when you just bake it off.
Yeah.
Like, I understand why meatloaf is less sexy than balls.
Yeah. And then you can also put it in, like, a tin, and, like, you could bake it like that. But, like, also, like, all of the water, like, it's, like all the water, like, seeps out. There's a layer of oil on the top. Like, yeah. I don't know. There's something
about... scum. There's a lot of, like, scum and albumin leaking out of the loaf.
I did one time make a turkey meatloaf, and it was horrible.
Why? Well, that's on you. That's not on meatloaf. What'd you do to it?
I don't know. I put nothing fun in it, but, like, it was not a good time.
That's why I love meatloaf, because you put all the fun things in it.
But you can do the same with meatballs, and also, I think the surface area of a meatball gets more, like, it has more browning and more of the, what's the term? Where it's
Maillard reaction?
Yeah, the Maillard reaction on a meatball is more so than a slice of meatloaf, because you cut the meatloaf into slices, and you don't have the Maillard reaction on the sides. You only have it on the top and maybe on the bottom.
True. So if you're looking at, like, actual benefits of cookery, right? Mm-hmm. Meatballs, you're getting more of a crust, which is more of a chance to develop those browned protein flavors that we all know and love. Also, like, I don't know, they're, like, easy to portion, they're easy to cook. Meatloaf is just, like, this giant wad in there. But you know how much I love soft, sopping wet foods.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing that I enjoy. I used to make meatloaf, like, I'd probably make it maybe once every 2 weeks for myself. And then I moved in with Jules, and mm-hmm. she was like, you're making the same thing. I get it. We're buying ground turkey in bulk, but just, like, scoop it onto a sheet pan and make meatballs.
Hmm.
And so, like, I don't necessarily need to work through my relationship issues here, Nicole, but I miss meatloaf because I prefer it.
Why don't you make a meatloaf?
I prefer because she doesn't like it. And I put her needs ahead of mine sometimes.
Sometimes you have to be selfish in life to get ahead.
But to me, there's something, like, unique about an American meatloaf.
Yeah.
Because somehow the rest of the world did not catch on. If any of you listeners out there know of any international meatloaf dishes, despite the, like, 90 different kinds of meatball dishes,
that'd be
awesome.
I think the freeform nature, again, it freaks me out. It freaks people out.
Why does it freak you out?
I don't know.
Let's try and get into it. Like,
it
dive
looks
into
like a
the
hedgehog.
Psychology.
It looks like a hedgehog.
No, you're thinking about the German pork tartare dish that they shape into a hedgehog.
I've made that before, too.
Which is delicious.
It really was good. It should be illegal in America. I think it is. But,
like, yeah, I don't think you're allowed to serve raw pork.
But,
get your hands out of our raw pork government.
Yeah, government. I don't know. There's something about the way that it cooks that I'm like, there must be a better way to do
this. But what about, Nicole, wait, hear me out.
Also,
though,
the brown sugar ketchup on top?
Yes.
What is that?
What do you mean, what is that? That's a delightful sauce. It turns into a nice sticky glaze. Well, there's two different kinds of meatloaf. Here's the thing. There's two different kinds of meatloaf, and I'll tell you what. You got ketchup glazed, and my secret, I think I have a lot of nostalgia for it, because my dad was just like an American white boomer
Maybe
dad.
Maybe that's what it is.
You know, and he knew how to make meatloaf a little bit, so I decided to, like, take that and master meatloaf as my, like, best dish when I was, like, 11, 12 years old. I was the meat master.
You were meatloaf master?
Yeah, I was an 11-year-old meatloaf master.
You were master meatloaf.
I was little master meatloaf. And Nicole, I took so much pride in the meatloaves that I would make. Don't mind that. I would take so much pride in the meatloaves that I would make. I would, like, you know, add the dehydrated onions. I'd sweat down my aromatics, the mirepoix. I'd add a little bit of tomato paste, my glaze. It was Trader Joe's organic ketchup because it was right across the street from our apartment, mixed with brown sugar, mixed with balsamic vinegar. And then inexplicably, Nicole, I would put sesame seeds on it.
Oh, so
why?
It was like a hamburger.
Yeah, it's kind of
it makes sense.
But it was fancy because it was a meatloaf.
No, oh my God, the Trader Joe's ketchup honestly sells it.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is. There's something about, like, it's the breadcrumbs and the egg.
That's
and,
a meatball.
And the and I know.
That's
I
a
know,
meatball.
I have my own indiscretions with meatloaf.
That's a meatball. It's the same thing. Nicole, you take the meatball mixture and you shape that into a loaf and you bake it. And that's what they did at Lavo. Nicole, they're fancy. I was sitting next to, hold on, I'm speaking. I was sitting next to at least three cast members of Selling Sunset that
night. Oh my God. Honey, I see the promos for it, and I want to watch it so bad, but I'm like, I'm going to lose brain cells if I watch it.
I was sitting next to the blonde one, and the short, weirdly buff one.
Oh, yeah, okay, I know exactly.
He's got a short, weirdly buff brother.
Yeah.
The Oppenheimers.
That's the name of the group.
And they were eating a meatloaf. I'm calling it a meatloaf. You put a pound of meat in a ball, and you bake it. That's a loaf. The sexy Oppenheimer twins were eating meatloaf. And I think that, to me, that's an opportunity to rebrand meatloaf as a sexy food.
Damn, I don't know. I just can't make it sexy.
What can I do? Nicole, what can I do for you to sex up this meatloaf? What can I do to you to brand meatloaf as a sexy food that you would like to eat. Tell me.
Change the name.
Okay, let's brainstorm right now. Okay. Let's brainstorm right now. Steak brick. log is a sexy word. Meat log. Like,
that is
got a
big
old
sexy word. Maybe we should get rid of the meat. Why don't we just call it the blank?
Okay, wait, hold on. So Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
The Rock.
This is, okay, but he started, his private chef started a standalone thing at the Westfield Century City Mall, the fanciest mall.
Which one?
It's called Breek. This is actually a good case study.
What is this?
Nicole, okay, if you go into that mall.
I go to that mall every single week.
The best
food. What are you talking about?
I eat a hot pot at that mall all the time. It's by one of the parking garages. It looks almost like an Apple store, but painted lavender. And it has like a weird gilded logo of like a brioche toast. And it's Breek. B-R-I-Q-U-E.
Oh, brick toast?
No, it's not brick toast. It is simply Breek. And what it is, Nicole, is they serve one thing. And it is Dwayne The Rock Johnson's favorite cheat meal. It is a giant brick of French toast. So it's egg custard, all that. And then on top of it are like coconut chips, maple agave syrup, and like peanut butter. And that's the only thing to serve. But
yum!
Right? You wouldn't have any way to title that dish other than just calling it something made up. And they made up Breek. It's French. It's sexy. Have I ever seen anybody in that store? Not even close, except
Never.
For me. Because Julie and I saw it. Oh, yeah.
Did you
we got
get it? Was it so good?
Of course. Yeah, it was
the
great.
The coconut
dude.
Chips. Yeah.
Oh, it was the coconut chips were like salted too.
Ooh.
It was just a delight. That said, you take something like Breek, you know, and you just add that to like, you know, meatloaf, and you just call it like the freak loaf.
Freak loaf?
Just let me freak. You know what I mean? Like,
honestly,
we can have.
Freak loaf sounds much better than meatloaf.
Yeah.
Can we get Chris Angel?
I think.
Chris Angel
no.
Mind Freak Loaf?
No, we can't make it the Mind Freak Loaf.
We must.
Oh, Chris Angel, actually, he has a restaurant.
What's it called?
It's. Okay, wait, no. Can someone Google what Chris Angel's restaurant's called? Because it was just a series of letters with no vowels, and it was like Sebulp. It was like CBLP or something, and it made no sense. That said, I would
what?
Absolutely
was it in
go.
Vegas or something?
Cabulp! It's called.
What? Chris Angel's breakfast, lunch, and pizza? Cabulp? We can order pickup.
Nothing makes sense about any of this. Breakfast, lunch, and pizza? The three meals of the day. Breakfast, lunch, and pizza.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Do you reckon? Do you think that? Okay, back to the original question.
What's up?
Is meatloaf just a long meatball?
Yeah.
Right? It is.
No, it is. I just hate that it is. But it is.
But like length matters. You know? And I'm saying it's not when it's too long, it's not sexy. We need short, little, discreet balls, and that's what makes it sexy. It's the length that really makes it not sexy. I'm serious.
I'm so glad my parents don't listen to this podcast.
You're treating this as a joke.
If my parents listen to this podcast, they would pull me out.
Hey, Morris and Shella, I'll text you the link.
Like, you guys know how, like, they, like, pull out, like, what's it called? They extract people from, like, unsafe situations.
Yeah.
That would be my parents right now.
They do a little forceful intervention. We're talking about
they would extract me from this podcast room. Like,
they might have
you're
that.
Coming with us. I'm getting you home. Like, they did in Fargo.
I haven't seen Fargo,
it's
but I
such
have
a bad movie.
Listened to a bunch of podcasts about cults, and that's what they do. They send in an extractor, and they drag him out, and they're like, no, I want to stay with, like, Lord Xenor or whatever. He's making me sell jellies and jams, and we don't get to sleep. And there's and every time I take the pills at breakfast, it makes me feel funny, you know? Cults are not a joke.
But, Josh, no, but, like, yes, in all intents and purposes, is that the saying? All intents and purposes?
For all intensive purposes.
For all
Nicole,
intensive.
The purposes are intensive.
For all intensive purposes.
The most intensivest of purposes.
For all intents and purposes?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. I just don't like the fact that it is, but it is what it is. And what am I to do to stop it? Nothing.
We need Chris Angel on board. Do we know what he's doing today? Because I'm pretty sure his restaurant shut down.
And no, we need you a can order. Now. No, no, no. You can order pickup.
Oh, can you really? Was that an option for Cabell?
Yes, and it's in Nevada. He's not doing anything today.
I know people. I feel like Chris Angel was given the Nickelback treatment, where people have made him into a bit of a punchline, but like actually both Chris Angel and Nickelback kind of dope at their peak. Can we all agree on that?
I listen to Nickelback at home sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm not ashamed of it.
You know why people even know who the hell Nickelback is? Because they're really good at what they do.
I hate how people say
if they were just a
Nickelback
bad band, nobody would know them. Creed?
I don't care.
They had a sound that I don't care
I don't
for
care.
Them.
I don't care for Creed.
They had a sound that no...
But I love Chad Kroeger. That's the lead singer's name.
And Scott Stapp from Creed. They were both icons. Scott Stapp, Chad Kroeger, Chris Angel. We need to get this triumvirate on board, Nicole.
To
advocate for not for meatballs, but for Freakloaf. We need to get Chris Angel, Chad Kroeger, and Scott Stapp. One, Scott Stapp does need money. He put out just like an Instagram video of him going like, hey, I'm in a bad place. I really need money.
Really?
Yeah, it's actually pretty sad. But this could go from sad to happy because we have an opportunity for him.
Freakloaf?
Because here's the thing. When you make meatballs, Nicole.
Yes.
You're probably making them what? Like, you know, let's say an eighth of a pound at a time. You get 8 meatballs into a pound.
I like meatballs. I make them. I haven't made. One time I made meatballs and David said never make meatballs again, so I don't make meatballs anymore.
Why were they so bad?
They were. I didn't put any.
Or is he just mean?
No, he's not mean. He was honest.
Yeah, that's fair.
I didn't put any breadcrumbs in it. I didn't put any eggs in it. It was just like straight meat and like spices, and he got really.
I thought you like cooked. What did you just not have it? Because I've been there where I like don't have breadcrumbs and I'm like rummaging through my old expired cracker drawer in the fridge and I'm like, what can I buzz up in a food processor?
I know how to cook. It was just at that time I'm like, maybe we don't need all the binders and stuff. It was just like straight meat, and then he ate it. He's like,
yeah,
don't make these anymore. And I said, okay, I'm sorry.
The other day, I was making meatballs, and I didn't have any breadcrumbs. I thought I had breadcrumbs. I didn't want to, you know, admit to Jules that I just forgot to get at the store. And so I took, like, everybody in L.A. has freezer-burnt pita bread from Zenku Chicken in their freezer.
I do. Because mine's not from Zenku, but I do have freezer-burnt.
Yeah, it just it happens. When you order specifically from Zenku, because I always get multiple family meals, they'll give you, like, 16 pita breads.
Yes,
and
lot.
I'm, like, one person.
Yes.
And so I took some freezer-burnt pita and just blended it up while it was frozen. It was so burnt that it was dehydrated. And it worked, but it tasted like freezer.
Mm.
Yeah, which wasn't great. Okay, so we got Scott Stapp, Chad Kroeger, and Chris Angel all on board to celebrate Freakloaf. We do like a viral activation where we have, you know, I mean, obviously we get Stappy and Krogs. They're on the vocals. You know, we get
Stappy
a backup band.
Krogs.
We're not going to have any budget left for backup band. So it's mostly just going to be like Maggie with the keytar. You know what I mean? Maggie, you play keytar?
I can play the tambourine.
Maggie, play. That's great, Nicole. Don't make this about you. And then we get Chris Angel to make a Freakloaf disappear. We make the world's largest meatloaf. Do you like what Kim Jong-un does, you know, to get positive press for North Korea, where he just beats random world records and they have Guinness there? We make the world's largest Freakloaf, and then Chris Angel disappears. Not the Freakloaf. He disappears himself, and then he's just gone. And then people are like, what happened to Chris Angel?
And then
it's a true crime.
And then he's in the Freakloaf.
And then he pops out of the Freakloaf, and then we get the whole cast of Selling Sunset, and they're just there digging in. If that doesn't raise Meatloaf's negative reputation, I don't know what will. Can we crowdfund this?
I think it's a great idea.
I mean, if Scott Stapp couldn't just crowdfund his own rent, I don't know if, you know, maybe we can do this.
Listen, we can do unbelievable things in this world, and I think the Freakloaf World Tour is bound to happen.
Nicole, when your arms are wide open, anything's possible is what I'm saying.
Yes, I agree. But I do also agree with the statement that a meatloaf is just a long meatball. And a meatball is just little itty bitties of a meatloaf.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then a hamburger is a disc of a meatloaf.
Well, no.
Yes.
Hold on. I'm sorry.
Joshua
we didn't actually
does
get into
this.
No, I'm saying we didn't get into the Guy Fieri theorism of any of this.
Are you talking about Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives?
Well, one, okay, the other day we worked from home and I had Triple D on for 8 hours in the background. It was incredible. I was watching season 41.
Are you my dad?
Yeah, kind of. We could probably be in the same room for a while together and just be silent watching Guy Fieri. No, but anytime somebody adds breadcrumb and egg to a burger, Guy Fieri just goes, well, that's a meatloaf. And they're like, no, it's my burger recipe. I've been working on it for 35 years. And Guy Fieri just goes, that's a meatloaf. And I agree with him.
Yeah, I do too.
I think when you make it into a
patty. Are you
trying
to get me to like argue with you?
No, I'm saying you said that Nicole, you said that if you make it like a disky meatloaf, that's a burger. I don't agree with that. A disky meatloaf is a meat disk.
No. It's a hamburger.
A hamburger doesn't.
It's a type of hamburger. It might be a type of hamburger.
Can we agree on anything?
Who puts eggs in hamburger meat?
I don't know, people.
And like breadcrumbs are weird.
I think it is weird too.
I'ma do it.
I guess so.
It probably tastes really good.
Probably.
It's probably just, you know, extend the life of the meat, you know?
Well, if there's one thing we've learned, it's that, God, Chris Angel, what are you doing? And if there's another thing we've learned, it's that you take spices, vegetables, breads, things that like thin out the protein, add flavors. You add it to ground chopped meat. That's a really good thing that the world over loves.
Agreed.
However, somehow we've all agreed that balls are the sexiest shape.
So sexy.
And I'm here to concede that maybe loaves aren't. You know, but
of bread, though, fuck me up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Bread balls. Who's eating bread balls out there? Garlic knots. You get your balls twisted in a knot. That's called testicular torsion, and it's actually like the most painful thing. Anyway,
no, I've heard it's very painful.
Well, it happened to a friend,
painful.
And he had to drive himself to the hospital.
Yeah, were you that?
But no, I wasn't. No, but that freaks me out every time. Yeah, I'll like cross my legs too fast and get scared.
Yeah, it's actually a card in Cards Against Humanity.
Really?
Yeah.
What other shapes could we possibly take? Because at this point, I understand that loaves might not be the sexiest, but is there another sexy shape?
Rhombus.
A rhombus? Do you know what a rhombus is, dude? No one knows what a rhombus is.
And rhombus is two equal sides and two equal sides.
No. I believe that a rhombus is...
it's a quadrilateral.
It's definitely quadrilateral, but I believe a rhombus has, yes, two pairs of symmetrical sides.
That's what I just said,
I know,
Hayward.
But hold on. But the angles are agnostic. They think there might be a god.
Equilateral, quadrilateral.
Yeah, so it doesn't have to have like right angle. It's like a right angle. A rectangle is a rhombus. Dude, we're so dumb.
Dude, what is this podcast? What are we doing today?
Well, I'm saying like if
Chris Angel, rhombuses.
Rhombi.
I'm sorry.
Rhombi, that's a good Scrabble word because not a lot of things end in I. And then you get H is worth 4 points and M and B are both 3. So if you can hit like rhombi. On like a, you know, triple word with maybe a couple of modifiers. Maggie's now Googling sexiest meat shapes.
Oh, what about a ham dog?
The ham dog.
Do you think ham dogs
We're talking about ham dogs
sexy?
Now. So a ham dog, you're talking about just a tube of meat?
A sausage.
Yeah, right? Well, here's where...
Is a meatloaf a sausage?
Oh, God.
It's a free form. Right? Because, like, think about sausage patties. What are sausage patties if not meatloafs?
I agree with you.
And what is the difference between... Like, you did a burger battle. Remember the burger battle we did? You made a sausage patty.
I did not. No. Can we address this? Can we address this? Because Nicole's saying that I made a sausage patty when I did not. I made an andouille spiced burger patty with equal parts pork and beef. Nicole, do you know what didn't...
What the hell is
do you know
a pork
what didn't?
Burger?
What do you mean it's a pork burger? It's a burger made out of pork. Do you
Who
know
the
why?
Hell eats those?
Do you know why it wasn't a sausage, Nicole?
Why?
Did you happen to? Sorry,
you need to speak to the mic.
No, I'm not going to speak to the mic because I want to get closer. Just like I can really accost you about this.
What?
When did I add the salt, Nicole? When? Tell me when I added the salt. Speak to this microphone. Speaking of mine.
I think you added the salt on top before you put it on the grill.
Just before I put it on the grill, Nicole. That does not a sausage make, and that is where I believe.
But wasn't there salt in the seasoning when
there
you put
was
it?
Not?
I doubt
unsalted,
that.
Unsalted seasoning. I put no Thani Sasheries inside there. I unsalted it, and that was deliberate because I hate when burgers are sausages because they're burgers.
Oh.
So you can spice a burger. You just can't salt it until right before it goes on the grill. Otherwise, the meat cures. And so, if we're talking, are meatloaves and meatballs sausages?
No.
No, as a radical sausage maximalist, I say yeah.
But
I think anytime you pre-season ground meat, a hamburger's not because it's not pre-season. If you pre-season a hamburger, then it's a sausage. And I believe that there are maybe fast food burgers out there that could qualify as sausages.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not out there trying to get them to rewrite the laws about this yet.
Mm-hmm. Yet.
Because I don't have Chris Angel on my side yet.
We will.
Once he disappears and comes out of
Chad
a
Kroger, comes out of a I really like Chad Kroger. Chad Kroger, come on the show.
Look at this graph. but no, I think if you're pre-salting and spicing meats and adding things to them, I think that is a sausage. I think you have to either concede that or concede that a free-form sausage patty outside of casing is not sausage? Because what else are you judging it off of? What's the difference between a Jimmy Dean log of pork, or even think about like black pudding, something that has like oats in it to cut.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between that and a meatloaf? Just spice
not
level?
Much. Not much.
Fine, so they're all just sausages, I guess. So now we need to figure out how we can get a sausage big enough for Chris Angel to disappear into and then out of. What if he gets stuck and he can't break through the giant casing?
He will. He's Chris Angel. There's nothing he can't do.
His magic is real.
Who's the other one? David Blaine?
Yeah, but David Blaine's like, not like real. Okay, so this is
David
this
Blaine
is gonna
and
be
the, they're both real. Well, and they're spectacular.
I mean, like Chris Angel, like he kind of looked like a pickup artist.
I know, and that's the, hot.
No, okay, that's also true. If you think Chris Angel wasn't hot, you're just freaking lying.
And then David Blaine was also hot. And then who's the other one? David Copperfield?
He's sexy. Old school. He disappeared the Statue of Liberty.
Hot.
But no, David Blaine, one of his magic tricks is he just eats a wine glass. And the trick is that there's no trick. He's just eating a wine glass.
Yeah, my dad's friend did that one time, and he scared the living crap out of me. And I'm like, I don't want to be around you anymore, Allie. And he's like, it was a joke. And I said, don't eat glass in front of me anymore, Uncle Allie. And he's like, okay. It's not... I'm sorry, was that too much?
No, sometimes jokes just backfire. Allie was like, yo, she's going to dig
he's
this
like, you wanna see
so much.
It was so weird. He just ate. He did a lot of like cool like things like that.
Yeah.
And he was like, we were at a party, and one time he just went hump and ate a glass.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is going on? And I was so scared. And my mom like ushered me. She extracted me from the room.
Shell, if you're outside the store trying to extract Nicole, I swear to God. I swear to God.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right, Nicole, you've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the Twitterverse. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casseroles.
But hey, Nicole, before we get into the opinions are like casseroles, it rhymes with acerolls,
mm-hmm.
I want to tell you about a new podcast I just discovered from Mythical Entertainment called Best Friends Back All Right,
yeah.
Starring Stevie Wynn Levine and Nagi and Homifar.
It's a really cool podcast.
It is really good.
I like to listen to it. It makes me feel like I am their friend. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. Yeah. Okay, so Stevie and Nagi, they were best friends in high school,
mm-hmm.
and then they hadn't spoken in over a decade, and then they are now reconnecting. They're going back through all old high school memories. They're talking about the D.A.R.E. program, drinking at college, hiding stuff
mm-hmm.
from their parents, friendships, the weird cliques. It made me feel like I was back in high school, and it made me
it
really
nice,
nostalgic.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I like genuinely look forward to every episode that comes out
yeah.
on Friday.
And I'm sure listeners, if you listen, you will enjoy it as well.
All right, at Stu Follett, I'm currently drinking what I call Rocket League fuel. One-third Svedka, one-third Sprite, one-third Blue Gatorade. Nicole, Rocket League is a video game.
I know.
Your husband plays it?
Yes. Well,
yes,
he
yes,
hasn't
yes.
played it in a long time because he's being a man.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I'm
not a
house.
Man. I'm a little boy who plays video games.
You're a little boy who plays video games.
I will say, okay, if I'm judging this as a cocktail, Sprite, Blue Gatorade, Svedka, I think it needs more acid to cut through a lot of that vodka.
Where's the
I'd
blue...
go squirt.
Oh.
Gatorade's going to hydrate you, so that's going to keep you focused. You get the electrolytes, Sprite's going to taste good, be a little fizzy, Svedka's going to get you just drunk enough to get into the Rocket League zone, which, like beer pong,
mm-hmm.
there's a point at which you are like a little buzzed and you are better than you've ever been,
mm-hmm.
but then you drink one drink too much and then suddenly all your 9-year-old Argentinian Rocket League teammates are just calling you names in the chat because you suck. So I get this.
I would have done Blue Curacao.
I mean, you can just stock blue Curacao. You know, you
I have it
once.
In my house.
Do you really?
Yeah.
What do you make with it?
I make a cocktail called the Blue Otter Pop. And it's really good. And one time I'll make it for you.
I'd love that.
Max Altul 124 says, I'm just going to say it. I like good instant ramen more than actual ramen. There's always just something a bit underwhelming about ramen whenever I have it at a restaurant compared to other Asian soups. And it just doesn't satisfy like the cheap stuff.
I don't believe I can relate.
There's something really like, how do I explain it? Like, not nostalgic. It's like you're eating poor people food. You know what I mean?
Yeah, when you're eating like a cup of ramen, this is like, this is, you know, hearkening back to.
This is 50 cents.
Yeah.
I am nourishing my body with hot liquid and starch.
And deeply comforting.
Very good.
Spiritual level.
I love instant ramen.
Agreed.
My mom never let me have it unless it was the kosher stuff. So I really love it.
Dude, we lived off instant ramen. It would be 10 for 10. It would be 10 for a dollar
with
the bricks at, like, especially the 99-cent store.
Yeah, 99-cent
store. 99-cent store would have some of the, like, bootleg-ass flavors,
which
too.
Which were so good, like the chili shrimp stuff.
Not even that. Jalapeno chili. They had a fettuccine alfredo flavored one that was just, like, dairy solids and so good. So I get the, like, satisfaction about that. But maybe you're just, like, eating it, you know, not great ramen spots. There's something to me very spectacular about like a good bowl of like tonkotsu ramen or like paitan ramen. It's not my personal favorite. Just because ramen tends to be very kind of like rich and very savory.
You can't have it all the time, in my opinion. Ramen, like crushing a bowl of ramen is like a once a month spectacular.
Oh,
like
very fun.
An outside ramen. But like at home, having it once a week makes sense.
Yeah. When I'm like sick, ramen is one of the best foods.
Oh, really? My sick food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do love that. Vietnamese soups to me just like really hit different.
So good. Yeah.
Just love the herbaceousness.
True.
So I, you know, sometimes get it. And ramen went through a big, is still going through a big cultural moment, you know, in America where people are like, oh my God, fancy ramen, so good. A lot of chains are coming here from Japan.
Yeah.
So I get it. It is like a little bit overrepresented in terms of like noodle soups.
Yeah.
All right. At Joe Metter Jr., Pringles are just mass-produced latkes and white chocolate is closer to cocoa butter than chocolate. Okay. Pringles are just mass-produced latkes.
No.
Right. Pringles, for people who don't know, it's not a whole sliced potato chip like Lay's. They're just slicing potatoes and frying them, covering them in oil. Pringles, they like desiccate the potato. They grind it up into like a paste, into a dough, and then they shape it into the Pringle shape. And so I get what they're saying, that it's like a patty made from processed, but it's a stretch.
But it's not fried like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Clever. You're clever. Joe, you're clever.
You're
and
clever,
I and
man.
I like that. You'd be a good lawyer, and I may have run into legal trouble soon, so I might need you. White chocolate is closer to cocoa butter than chocolate. Yeah, white chocolate's like.
White chocolate's chocolate.
I
worked at a chocolate store and I say white chocolate is chocolate.
But
so what I say
taste
goes.
Like it.
That doesn't matter.
Taste so chocolatey.
What?
Is white chocolate chocolatey?
Yes.
BS. It's not chocolatey.
Do you think cocoa powder is closer to chocolate than white chocolate is to chocolate? No, it's not.
It's chocolatey. That's the flavor.
Do you think cocoa nibs are closer
to
chocolate?
That's like saying a hot sauce without peppers is hot sauce.
Of course it is.
Yeah, I have said mustard is hot sauce. So
which it is.
I don't know. We might have to discuss the white chocolate thing in an actual podcast.
Rachel Baldwin says, during my freshman year of college, my roommate would consistently purchase a head of red cabbage to snack on. I would come into the living room after Zoom classes and both she and the cabbage would be perched on the couch. Thoughts? Yo, I love raw cabbage. Raw red cabbage is so good. I love it. But you have to like cut it into like squares or rectangles. You can't shred it. It's not good shredded. You don't like it?
The thought of it, one.
I love raw red cabbage.
Yo, Nicole, I brought pickled red cabbage. I'm going to, right after this podcast.
I don't want the pickled stuff. I want the raw stuff.
I wasn't offering you any. I was just telling you that I have recently, like, eaten, munched on raw red cabbage as I was pickling it. The pickles that you are not entitled to, because that's my lunch from home. there's something, like, it's so hard and waxy. You know, there's like I can like taste the lactobacillus on the outside of it.
But it's fun.
I guess it's fun, but like a cucumber. That's a nice. Oh my God, a raw bell pepper. What a fun dish.
I love raw bell peppers. Are one of the best raw veggies to snack on.
I agree.
A nice broccoli.
I just think there's like eight. Yeah, I was eating raw broccoli the other day for the first time in a while. And I was like, this
so
is pretty good.
Good.
It's like woodsy.
So good.
I just think there's like eight vegetables and I'm a huge cabbage fan. I think there's like eight or nine vegetables
you
that I'd
eat
rather
the most
eat plain.
Cabbage.
Than just snack on red cabbage. Plain.
I've never seen someone eat more cabbage than you, though.
My thoughts. I'm so gassy. My thoughts, though, they were both perched on the couch. I'm imagining both the person, the roommate,
kind of like on all fours like a gargoyle on top of the couch with the cabbage just next to her.
Maybe.
At Figonia 2, I don't get sweet and salty snacks. Now what I'm eating is unhealthy in two ways. I'm fine with just one flavor. This is the most adventurous person in the world.
I know.
They're limited to one flavor in their snacks, Nicole.
No,
just one.
Come on. Come on, baby. Come on. Sweet and salty, also, delicious, like, and yummy.
You know, come on. Like, healthy, unhealthy, it's a false dichotomy. Everything in moderation. But, like, people, if they think that, like, sugar is just bad for you, your body, like, breaks any sort of carbohydrate down to sugar.
Correct.
A thing where I didn't understand how this exactly worked until I think I talked to a nutritionist about it for a story. I asked whether or not ripe bananas had, like, more sugar in them than non-ripe. Because it, like, tastes sweeter, right? But the caloric difference, you know, that couldn't really change during a ripening process, could it? And they were like, it's just starch converting to sugar.
Which is what happens over time.
Yeah. And so it's just like, well, if you're already eating starch with salt on it, that's effectively eating sugar. And so, you know, if you're really, like, nitpick, if you are someone who's so worried about your health that you're nitpicking on that, it's just
don't,
like,
eat snacks ever.
Don't eat snacks. Yeah. Leave them to the rest of us. I was snacking on those Filipino adobo flavored cracker peanuts that my buddy Emil brought from the Philippines.
What?
Bro, I should have brought him. I'll bring some tomorrow.
Did I meet him?
You know, like, yeah.
Oh, I met him. Yeah.
He was probably, like, lounging on a daybed. He falls asleep a lot.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, you and Emil could have just napped together.
Oh my God, I love napping with people.
Oh, he's the best. Yeah, he's such a good napper.
Oh. And Cal Speak says, today as my hangover breakfast, I ate cottage cheese with some black pepper and a side of seaweed salad. 10 out of 10 would recommend. Would you? I feel like I'm barfing.
Oh, that's okay. That's what I was saying. But that could be a benefit for a hangover breakfast.
Oh, like to help you barf?
Yeah, like what do they call it? An expectorant? Like, you take a medicine,
like,
that makes you cough up phlegm? Yeah.
K-O-peptate.
Yeah, you could just, you know, because that to me is I would eat this. Oof, no.
No, you
this
wouldn't.
Is a pretty bad combination of things.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest. And listen, I understand weird hangover cravings. I often crave cold chopped liver on just, like, cold bread when I'm hungover. So I get it. But this to me is a great recipe if you're like, hey, I want to flush the system clean, start anew, you know, then I think you should do that. So it sounds like it's serving multiple purposes, and I think that's cool. At Shiny Failure, Flamin' Hot Fritos are so much better than their Cheeto cousins, and it pisses me off. It pisses me off that I'm only ever able to find them in road trip gas stations. Wait. Road trip gas stations, that's a thing, right?
Yeah.
The best gas stations are the ones that are, like, in the middle of nowhere.
No.
I don't know.
I like the really swank ones that have, like, Nutella.
I feel like those are the ones in the middle of nowhere, though.
No.
Like, you're driving up the Grapevine along the 5 up to NorCal through Bakersfield, and you're like, there's one gas station, and it's like an oasis.
Really?
They have
no.
A bunch of, like, natural beef jerky in there.
Really? I like the ones that look like there's been no human in there since 1996. And the man at the counter is like, he has a cowboy hat and, like, a name tag that's not his name.
Yeah.
Those are the ones I like to go to, the really barren, sad ones.
Who did he kill for that name
tag? What I'm saying. He obviously doesn't work there. He's wearing a cowboy hat on the clock.
I had to really learn to appreciate Fritos as an adult.
I love Flamin' Hot Fritos.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
They're good.
Cornier than Cheetos.
That's the biggest part. You taste the corn in the Fritos.
So good.
Yeah, this is a good opinion. This is a great opinion.
The Cody Mooney says, why are all of my opinions like books? They're so long. Was just eating some chips cooked in avocado oil, and I was wondering if y'all think boutique oils are a scam. I personally don't taste the difference between KFC Fryer Sludge and grass feed. This is spelled wrong.
Why do you have to call him out? You know he's saying grass-fed. Why do you just have to crap on Cody?
Grass-fed, free-range oil in my chips. Also, health benefits? 3 question marks. What's y'all's thoughts? Is that good? Do you want, like,
that
a clean
good.
Maggie?
That was pretty good.
I can taste the difference.
I can taste the difference. I just don't think it's better.
I just don't care enough to, like, mention it. Like, your fryer oil tastes really bad.
Okay.
Can you switch it?
Well, sometimes I can taste, like, dirty old fry oil.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the difference between a good Filet-O-Fish and a great Filet-O-Fish.
I love Filet-O-Fish. Secret, get it extra crispy.
Yeah, well, but then if the fry oil's old, then it's just a good Filet-O-Fish. And you can kind of taste the nuggets built up in there. But no, like, avocado oil chips, God, everyone is going to always have opinions about, this has shifted over time, whether margarine is good, whether margarine is bad, whether butter is good, but only grass-fed butter is good. Butter is bad, but also add it to your coffee, and I'm going to be super jacked doing CrossFit, drinking butter coffee every day. Avocado oil is the only good thing. Olive oil is healthy, except you can't heat it to anything that would ever cook a food, because then you get the cancer. Avocado oil is the best thing for you. However, 75% of avocado oil is just fake. It's a scam. There's actually a huge fraud problem with it. So I don't care. I don't care. There's too much like information and misinformation that like the answer to everything is always just going to be,
I don't care.
Eat a diverse amount of foods in moderation and listen to your body. That is the only diet advice. If you want to eat the chips that make you the happiest, you know? And then, like, figure out the rest of your life. Mm. The avocado oil chips are never going to be the thing that is going to push you from, like, health to unhealth.
Sure. No, you're right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's like shooting a BB gun at, like, a tank. It's just, like, it's a little ping off the glass. Do tanks have glass? I don't think so. Anywho, eat the chips that make you the happiest. No, there's no health benefits to it. And I'm a doctor.
Big underscore kooky says bell pepper burps are the best burps.
Cucumber burps are also good.
I don't like any burps that taste like food.
No? Oh, my God, dude. I was getting the...
I get mad that my body just doesn't metabolize and it's like, okay, be gone.
No, it's like a fun little essence. I wish, though, this happened more with farts.
Ew. Oh, my God.
What do you mean,
ew?
No, but if it's like a good food.
Oh, no.
Like you eat like some lavender ice cream and then your tummy's acting up. You get the hot toots from the dairy. And then what if you just... Nicole... You just, like, farted like a Glade plug-in. You know what I mean?
No! I think don't want to do that!
We have to have the technology to be able to perfume our farts.
Yeah, it's a special kind of underwear. Don't ask me how I know that.
Where can one purchase this underwear? Do they make it for men? I'll wear ladies' underwear. I don't care.
Josh,
make me feel sleek like a dolphin.
It's unisex. And also, I will send you the link later.
Talk about freak loaf. All right, on that note, thank you so much for stopping by. A hot dog is a sandwich. If you want to hear more from us here in the Mythical Kitchen, we got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at Mythical Chef or @HendyZada with the hashtag Opinion Casserole.
And for more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube where we launch new videos every week.
And of course, if you want to share pictures of your radical dishes, hit us up on Instagram at Mythical Kitchen.
We'll see y'all next time.